Last Sunday, when we all joined together at the Admiral Kid Club to celebrate Mike and T's wedding, that was really a blessing to be together. And for those of you that were there, it was quite a spectacular location, a real blessing to be together. So, and also thank you to all that helped and participated in such a wide variety of responsibilities and that sort of thing. It was really awesome. So this morning, I want to talk about a subject briefly entitled "Remaining Peaceful," and kind of two appropriate songs Andrew was inspired by God to sing. "Constantly Abiding," there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, right? And then the other song, "Peace, Peace." And we've been reviewing kind of over the last few weeks, if you remember, some of the various parts of the armor of God that are listed in Ephesians chapter 6. You remember that? You got some blank looks. Maybe you weren't here. But anyway, it's so vital, really, to remember that the battle we're involved in is spiritual. It's not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. And a lot of times that when certain things are going on or whatever, you're under some sort of pressure, you're under some sort of thing going on, you're not feeling peaceful. You know what? Sometimes you lose the perspective that it really is a spiritual battle. It's easier to point your fingers at, oh, it's this, it's that, it's him, it's her, it's my parents, it's my job, it's this. You know, but behind that, all that, really, there are spiritual reasons and causes that are being marshaled and directed to get you to function in a certain way. And one of the great things that happens, maybe I'm the only one, but occasionally I lose peace. Other things seem to kind of step in and crowd out the peace of God in my life. And then there are at least two things that enter in. One of them is anxiety. And the other one's called worry. Well, you know what? Those are tools that are used by the adversary, the enemy, to keep us all tied up and in knots and to keep us uptight. Boy, I don't like that feeling. Do you? Being uptight, always, you know, worried, thinking about what's going to happen. You know, I once heard of the definition of worry as it's interest paid on money that's never received. Worry is forecasting some sort of disastrous event out in the future that many times never comes to pass. It never happens. We're all worked up about something that never happens. Well, I've got I love to play off just sort of logical statements. For those of you who know me, I do that a lot. So I have this logical statement that, I don't mean to sound sarcastic, okay? But you know what? Anxiety and worry, this is not the ideal state of mind that God intended for Christians. It really isn't. But all of us have been there at some point in time in our lives. We've gotten anxious. We've gotten worried. The key is to be able to remain peaceful. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost," Holy Spirit. Now the God of hope fill you, with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that negative? Does that sound like, ugh, I don't want that. Now, this is a great promise of the Word that says God will do that. How about John 16:33? There are so many in God's Word, many of which you've heard on multiple occasions. In some of these cases, to many of you, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Those of you maybe otherwise have not heard as many of these things before. John 16:33. Jesus Christ said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you have pressure. You have mental pressure. You have tribulation. But, good news, be of good cheer. Aha, I have overcome the world. You go out looking for peace in the world, guess what? It ain't out there. So, I'm sorry, world peace? It ain't going to happen. And sometimes we go out there seeking and looking and thinking maybe this will give me peace, that will give me peace. You know what? It doesn't. So what is the ideal state of mind? Is that a rhetorical question? What is the ideal state of mind? You know, E.W. Bullinger, who was a great Greek scholar, wrote many books. If you ever looked at the list of books that you wrote, you wonder how he had time to do anything else other than write books. But yet he was quite a minister, quite a preacher. He was heavily involved in music and a wide variety of other things. Very, very talented, very wonderful man. In his Greek-English lexicon, describes peace as a state of untroubled and undisturbed well-being and a place that is free from all anxiety and care. Wow. Undisturbed, untroubled well-being. You know, it just kind of makes you want to take a deep breath, you know, and say, yeah, you know, that's something I really want. I want to cultivate, you know, in my life. You know, in Psalm 34:14, why don't you have a look there? But sometimes peace just doesn't come, I don't know, naturally. You know, we have to sometimes pursue peace. We have to renew our minds. We have to take some sort of action to appropriate the peace that's already been given to us. That's for sure. Psalm 34:4. Says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And in verse 14, it says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and what? Pursue it. Pursue it? We have to pursue it? You mean it just doesn't axiomatically just flow from this state of nirvana that we're all in? Because we have the inward reality spiritually of Christ, and then we're just constantly peaceful with no effort on our part? Wow. You know this psalm right here in the Amplified says, depart from evil, do good, seek, inquire for, and crave peace, and go after it. See? Go after it. It's to pursue peace, to inquire for it, to crave and go after it. If you want peace bad enough, you'll make whatever changes you need to make in your life to see that you get it. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to make the changes necessary to get that thing you say you want? Maybe you do get frustrated at times. You're stressed out. Hey, maybe you need to cut a few things out of your life. But I want to do all those things. Well, then you know what? A lot of times the result is frustration and stress. You're the only one who can control your schedule. You're the only one who can change it too. You know what? If you want peace in your life, here's a little practical wisdom. Don't exceed your own limitations. Nobody says you have to do all the things that you're doing. You start looking at your life, you take a little estimation of your life, and you figure out which things in it are not bearing any fruit, and you start pruning them, just as you would prune dead branches off of a tree. Here's a really great key. It is really important to not overcommit yourself. You know what you do? You learn to say no, because there are so many things that are drawing for your attention. Now, the opposite of this is, too, that Some people are so afraid of committing to anything, they always say no. In that case, those people should be saying yes. See? But people have a tendency to overcommit themselves so that they are just totally maxed out all the time. They have no time left. Well, who's in control of your life? You are. See. Maybe some of you have children. So here goes the statement. My kids, they've got to go to baseball practice on Monday night. They've got to go to hockey practice on Tuesday night. They've got band practice on Wednesday night. They got open house on Thursday night and Friday night. We got to get the whole family together and do some sort of family activity because we want to be able to spend time together. You know what? Your kids don't have to do everything they want to do. They need to do something. It's good for them to be involved in a lot of different activities, but you can't let their schedule control your entire family. See? How many of you maybe didn't do a lot of extracurricular activities when you were growing up in your family? Anybody here? Claudia, Trish, Andrew. Hey, you know what? They survived. They're here. They're okay. Look, they're fairly well-adjusted people. You know what I mean? Maybe they went to school, went through a normal routine. Maybe they don't feel like they really missed out that much as a young person growing up because they didn't have all the whatever privileges of what other kids have. Really something, isn't it? How about Romans chapter 12? Look at that. And here's a great key in that first one there about pursuing peace. You have the greatest counselor of all time that you have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know what? We need to follow what God is directing our hearts to do, not what the current popular philosophy of everybody and their brother is doing. See? And that includes how we work with our kids. See? We got to follow God's leading as to what we and our children are to be involved in and where we are to use our energy. You know what? We got to learn to say yes when God says okay, and we have to learn to say no. That's what obedience is really all about. See, many of us, unfortunately, have developed a habit pattern of just, you just get so engrossed in the machine of life, we don't even stop long enough to really even get God involved. We're just into the next activity then. In boom, boom, boom. You know, so, hey, peaceful. Romans chapter 12, here's the second point. You know, we have to learn to adjust to others. We really do. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. This is part of, you know, what it's like living in the body of Christ, being in relationships with other people. There's other people involved. It's not just you. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. You know, and the common thing sometimes people go through is, why can't everybody just be like me? Just think like I do. Because then they'd be like right on all the time. I mean, the reality is that people are different. Not everybody thinks the way that you do. See? And that's okay. That's fine. See? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If. Here, this is the Amplified Version. Live in harmony one with another. Don't be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive. But readily adjust yourself to people and or things and give yourself to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Don't repay evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble. And as far as it, if possible, as far as it depends upon you, you live at peace with everybody. See? You pursue peace. You learn to be adjust. You learn to be flexible. See? You learn to adjust, to flow, to adapt to other people's lives. This is the only way we can coexist in the body of Christ. See? You know, you do whatever it takes to get peace in your life. And that even means not talking at times. You realize that? It means that not everything you have to say is that ultra critical to be said at that moment. And that you don't find yourself in an argumentative state with somebody about something and that you're just pressed to have to express your opinion. When really in the big picture, it probably could just be put on hold. See? Sometimes, you know what, it's just better to get out of the situation and let everything calm down than get re-involved in the situation. You know, the Bible doesn't say that everybody's going to adapt to you. It says that you should adjust yourself to them. See? Because we live in a world that's kind of all evolves around us. But what's our responsibility? Making ourselves adaptable to others. See? This isn't impossible. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, that you actually elevate and evaluate other people higher than your own self. That sounds impossible. It's like, Barney, you're kidding me, right? No, I'm not kidding you. See. All right, Philippians chapter 1. Remain peaceful. You talk about the armor of God. How about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. Peace. Ephesians chapter 6 is all wrapped up in the body of Christ. If there was ever a place that peace needed to be happening, it's amongst many times amongst believers. Because they get all claws come out, man. You know, like Galatians, they bite and devour and attack and, you know, words and just that. Are those words so important to be spoken? Are they? I think James has something to say about that. James chapter 3, actually, about how powerful words are and the tongue. Amazing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. It's a little different in the Amplified Version. It says, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such, constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof and a seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation and that from God. See, the scriptures tell us and tells you what to do or you are being aggravated by the enemy. You are to remain constant, steadfast, and fearless in the face of anything that's going on. The thing that you don't want to do is to become upset, mad, aggravated. You know, Satan, the adversary, is an expert at stealing joy. That's what he wants. He wants to rip the heart, the joy, the happiness right out of a Christian. Doesn't care how he gets to it. Doesn't care. As long as he gets it. And getting mad and upset is precisely what he wants you to do. So you'll become weak. You become wimpy. And you give him a chance to overpower you. You know, when the enemy starts picking on you, you can take your attention off what God wants you to do and concentrate on the problem that God, that the devil has instigated. Or you can remain constant, you can remain at peace, trusting God that he will take care of the situation. Hey, these are practical things, I think, that all of us can be mindful of. So what do? We pursue peace. We adapt ourselves to others. We remain constant at peace. And also what we do is we let God handle. We let God handle a lot of situations that we ourselves are not capable of really handling and working out totally. See. And that you can see in Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Take a quick look there. This is the good one about Jesus and the storm in the boat. Matthew chapter 4, verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest now that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, basically what they were saying to him, hey, don't you care? Can't you see what's going on around here? We are dying. We are perishing. This is out of control. Jesus kind of kept it in perspective, though, didn't he? He was walking with God. You agree? Huh? Or was he just shooting off something here? I'll just talk to the wind. No, he was walking with God. God was working within him. Spirit of God within him. See? It's amazing. It's incredible. See? He rebuked the wind. He said, Peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. You know? But the disciples, you know what they didn't do? They didn't hold their peace during the storm, did they? No, they lost it. Because when the storms of life came along, guess what? Peace was gone, just like that. Took their eyes off God, took their eyes off the Word, and all of a sudden, bam, they were just so into the circumstances, so into the problem, so into the situation. What are we going to do? How am I going to figure this out? They got worried. They were upset. Jesus Christ was sleeping in the back of the boat. You know, Jesus Christ is with us always in every situation. That is at hand. And so that enables us to experience and to manifest the quality of peace in any situation, in any storm that we're in. See. And sometimes, you know what? You don't know what God's going to do or how he's going to do it. You just need to know that he's with you in the middle of that storm. And that he's going to take care of you in the middle of that storm. I don't care what the circumstances are. See, so many times I think we limit God by our own attitude towards what we think he's going to do and how he should do it. Rather than just saying, help, I don't know, help me, figure this out. See? But the bottom line is, underneath all of this, is that you will never have the edge or the sharpness over the enemy at his own game unless you can just stay peaceful through anything, through any circumstance, any situation. What a challenge. What an adventure. What a journey to cultivate great peace in your heart. For me to cultivate great peace in my heart, regardless of what the checkbook looks like, regardless of what the mortgage statement says, regardless of what my bills are, regardless of what the boss says, regardless of what happens in the economy. See, there are so many senses indicators out there that are just pounding, pounding, pounding. See, and what could cause somebody to really lose their peace. See, wow, so many different things. A couple of records in Exodus, we won't go there, where the Israelites were getting kind of freaked out. They lost their peace real quick. They didn't have food and they didn't have water. Guess what? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And they turned around and they started to blame Moses. Because they were suffering some sort of thing that was really beginning to affect them, you know. They were getting hungry. Their stomachs were growling. They were thirsty, you know. Their blood sugar was dropping. I got to get something to eat, quick. And they got really irritated. They got really negative, too, about the whole thing. See. To the point that they said, why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? You know what? We've been better off back there in slavery than been out here. And these people were vindictive, I think, in their attitude, too. They just weren't, you know, goofing around. They were, like, in his face. You know, it's like, hey, you know, this is worse than the slavery we were in. That's like saying, you know what? I'd rather go back to the old man nature. I'd rather go back to being the way I was before I even heard about Jesus Christ. What it was like, what they were saying. You know, somehow I think they got their eyes off, got a little out of focus there. Well, you know, the end of the story results is in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. That was really the directive from God. Hold your peace, remain at rest. You know, sometimes it seems as though God, he doesn't fight for us, and though he doesn't come against the enemy and defeat him for us. And the reason that this happens sometimes is that we're not holding our peace and we're not remaining at rest. See, God wants to help us, and he wants to do it his way and not our way. But because our way usually involves being upset, which causes worry, which causes being really fretful. And reason with reasoning and anxiety. See. Remember what I said about Bollinger? A state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Man, Jesus Christ set a pretty high standard, I would say. But yet, it's Christ in you. Well, Barney, you don't understand. You don't understand my life. I've got this. I've got that. I work from 6 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. And then when I come home, I've got all these responsibilities. I have to work on the weekends, and I have to do this, and I do that, and do up. Well, you got the Word, and they got your Word. And you got the promises of the Word as opposed to 1,000 different things that we could say about the Word and why the Word can't work for us. So at some point in time, there has got to be a reckoning. Either it's the truth of the Word, or it's not. So I guess each and every one of us is in that kind of situation, in that environment, to make that choice, aren't we? Well, amazing. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, shall we? Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah. It's amazing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Well, verse 9 is cool, too. Therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Thank you. This is a really interesting point. Have you ever read the last book of the Bible? Or do you know anything of what the last book of the Bible is about? Do you know what the name of the last book of the Bible is? Revelation. Yeah, that's right. So if you've read or had any inclination to ever have any knowledge about the last book of the Bible, you know who wins the war, right? Yeah. So you know what? Rest in that. Take a seat. Rest. Relax a little bit. You see, the promise of God's peace is not made to those who work and struggle in their own strength, but those who sit and rest in Jesus Christ and in His finished work. And they stay in their spiritual seat instead of jumping up every few minutes and getting out of rest. You know, it's available to work like a dog and be at rest. But see, most people work like a dog and then feel like a dog. Because you see, the work is beating them up. Whereas in reality, work is a really godly thing, isn't it? So there's got to be some sort of answer to that. Maybe that's something you ought to think about, you know, if you have questions about what you do for a living, the kind of work you're involved in, the kind of requirements that it takes from you. Oh, something to think about. We all pretty much are in that situation. Yeah. So the Amplified verse, Hebrews chapter 4, "For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors. Just as God rested from those particular labors, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into that rest." You see this verse 11, it says, "Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently." You know, in other words, our job is not to change your husband. Your job is not to change your husband. Your job is not to change your wife, your kids. It's not to change our circumstances or to build our ministries. Our job is to enter into the rest of God and to believe that while we are resting, God is at work. What an unusual concept. Because, see, we are groomed in a culture that puts it all on us, that if you're going to get anything in this world, you're going to do it. The Bible says to enter into the rest of God, then while you're resting, God works on your behalf for you. Wow, that's some unlearning. We've really got to sort of unravel and work our hearts and the fabric of this stuff into a little bit more. Because it is ingrained into us from birth. If you're going to get something in this life, Andrew, you are going to work for it. And then you come to the Bible and you say, "Well, no, Andrew, you know, everything's really by grace except work." Because, see, I'm being sarcastic here, but it's all by grace or it's not by grace. See? These are really deep-seated things that are in people's hearts, in people's lives. We learn them from the ground up. These are belief systems. They end up getting carried out over into the lifestyle of the Word. See, now, I'm not, you know, recommending, suggesting you all go out and quit your job tomorrow. I guess if God told you to go ahead and do that, then you'd be obedient in doing that. But I think there's a great point here in that people don't feel like they can rest many times because they're working so hard. And yet there are plenty of things in God's Word and in the Scriptures that talk about how to work to get into that rest and then let God do the work He should be doing. It's a fascinating concept. See? But then, you know, God doesn't really necessarily work according to the sense, knowledge, logic, does He? Walking on water, turning water into wine, feeding multitudes with a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. I mean, come on. This is not like your everyday normal stuff. like we've been hearing over and over and over again, living in the realm of the miraculous, living in the realm of, well, you know, it's not only living in the realm, it's participating in the realm of the miraculous and realizing you're in the realm of the miraculous, see? And that you are enabled and capable and fully talented with everything there is spiritually to be given to you to be able to perform the works of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait for permission to do it. You've got permission. You know, it's like Sangit said when he first started coming around, teaching people how to minister healing. You know the one big key that he talked about? Do it. Just start doing it. You're not going to get a textbook on how to do it. Well, besides for the Word, you know what? You put yourself in a situation, you see somebody that's got a need. You know what you say? You know what's available for God to heal you? And they're like, really? Yeah, you know what? I could minister healing to you right now. What do you think about that? Okay. Bam. That's how simple it really is. It's not like you have to get an instruction book. You have to have the willingness, the desire to step out of your comfort zone, maybe, and to really put the Word of God to the test. Malachi 3:10. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out. God said, prove it. Prove it. Okay. Do we really believe in healing? Offer your life as one who's willing to put the Word to the test. Do I really believe what God says about this stuff in practical application or not? Or do I just want to talk about it? I've just come to seminars to say I've been there. No, that's not what it's all about, guys. It's become living epistles, serving the Word of life, being a man or a woman of God who has this stuff in the depth of their heart to a point that, you know what? You believe it. Not just talking about it. I go through the same thing with my own mind. You don't think I have to work with my own mind, get myself to a point where thus saith the Lord? Oh, man. There's an enemy out there. He's doing everything under his power and his control to stop you from doing exactly what I'm talking about, because he never, ever, ever wants to see you see the power of God in your life. And I mean never. He wants to make you feel like a failure. You're lost. You're discouraged. You're depressed. You're whatever. But once you see it, once you put the Word of God to the challenge and you see God at work in your life, you will never forget it. You will never, ever, ever forget it. So I know I'm laying down the gauntlet here, okay? But hey, why not? What else are we going to do? Trying to make time for ourselves so we can watch the Charger game? Hey, I like the Chargers. Nothing wrong with the Chargers. See? Or anything else that we do as extracurricular activities. But see, man, it's really something. Somebody's alarm is going off. Wow. John chapter 14. We'll close here. John chapter 14. Peace. Peace is back. I know this is a little bit outside the context of the way I normally teach, but you know, some of these things we have to talk just to be able to talk about honestly and openly. You know, I mean, we're a family. We're in this thing together. And, you know, I love you guys. I want us all to be victorious and able and capable men and women of God in life situations. But we are talking about peace, that state of undisturbed, untroubled tranquility. John 14:27, you know what? Peace is our inheritance. It's something that we've been given. You know, if Daddy wrote you a big fat check, you know, at the end of his life because of your inheritance, you'd be singing all the way to the bank. It's like, oh my God, I got all this money. And most people are pretty thrilled when they get an inheritance. They're feeling pretty good about it. Exactly. See. Well, you know what's our inheritance? One of the things? Peace. Peace. 14:27. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to leave you with peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. You know, whenever you face something that's really disturbing, really frightful, or kind of unsettling, I've got a great key for you here. Hold your peace. And to see that God is still able and capable of taking care of the situation. You know, some of us, over the years, through our lives, are so quick to overreact and to react to situations. And so I think the challenge of God's word is to respond with the word rather than to react to the situation that we find ourselves in. And I'm not saying this happens overnight. It does take effort. It takes time. But many of you are young and you got a lot of time ahead of you. And so nothing better to practice on than not being overreactive to situations that happen. Because things get said and things get done that, boy, you really wish you could take back, but sorry, it's already out there. Yeah. You know, sometimes the devil, he sets us up to get upset. And that's why Jesus Christ left us his peace as our inheritance. He told us, stop allowing yourselves to be so upset and so disturbed. Well, you know, we have something to do with whether the devil is getting is going to be able to upset us or not. You know, first of all, if you know anything about the devil, he doesn't really have any power. He's a parasite. He just feeds off of anything that God has proclaimed as being good. You remember in 1 Peter 5:8, it talks about that the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, that verse says he may devour. It doesn't say he will. The only power the enemy really has is the power that we give to him willingly. And I'll tell you, getting upset is one of the devil's favorite tactics. Because it works so easily with human beings. If he can control us by getting us upset with circumstances, then he'll have us under his thumb all the time. But we don't have to allow to give in to that. You know, peace in the midst of tribulation, in the middle of male pressure, in the middle of circumstances that are beyond your control, that's our inheritance. But many of us, many Christians in this room and beyond, never use the great benefit, even though it belongs to us. So, in closing, remember this. When you're attacked, stay peaceful. This indicates to the enemy he is defeated. He doesn't know what to do with you if he can't get you upset. Because you are going to be able to continue to walk with God in the middle of any type of situation regardless. Here comes Jesus into the situation. Father brings a child. He's having an epileptic seizure right at his feet, foaming. Remember this record? Foaming at the mouth, just flipping around the ground. I mean, normal situation, be like, Jesus then engages the father in a conversation and talks about the details of it before he ministers to them. That is a real challenge of the human mind, to not pay attention to what's going on down here and stay in focus and stay in touch and then in touch with God. That's a great one. Man, cultivating some real peace in the heart there.
See.
So, you know what? Regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, it is available to remain at peace and therefore to remain unmovable. That's exactly what Ephesians 6 is talking about. Finally, my brethren, be strong and in the Lord and in the power of His might. And having done all, do what? Stand. 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 Unmovable. See? Man, you're going to be a lot more unmovable with great peace in your heart than you are being anxious and worried all the time. See? Oh yeah, you may be able to grind through it. But what about the joy of really just being able to have fellowship with God and hear from God and to walk with God? See. So remember, you know what? We're not in a flesh and blood situation. And we can be peaceful no matter what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Heavenly Father God, thank you for the joy and privilege of knowing this word, putting Christ in us, Father, that has enabled us far above and beyond our human ability. And Father, we may not see you with our physical eyes, but when we do believe in the invisible, we know it's available to do the impossible, Father. And I thank you that this week can be a week filled with miracles, with signs, with wonders, with great boldness in our believing, that we have a great rise within ourselves, Father, just to not allow anything to rob our peace, to rob our joy. But what we have, the focus of mind, the heart mindset to just be strong and to be victorious in these situations we find ourselves in. So thank you for God's people that are here today. Thank you for this word of God, Father, we've been able to share and be a part of. Thank you for this fellowship and for the strength that we build in unity with each other's hearts, for the bonds that have been built here and will continue to. And that our lives, Father, have such great value and bring such hope and answers to a world that is just crying out for this type of deliverance. We pray for those who are out of town, those who aren't here with us. Pray for those who are not feeling well, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones throughout our fellowship and maybe throughout our country. Thank you, Father, for those who have been hurt, those who need forgiveness, for those who have something in their minds that's holding them back from being the men and women of God that they desire to be, and that they'll get those wounds healed up and those issues taken care of. Thank you, God, for your watchful care over the leadership here in this town and for each and every one of God's people. And thank you, God, for loving us and helping us to be our best this week. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.